What's up, everybody? This is your girl, Virtuous Diva and Company, and I am definitely in New Orleans, New York today, in Harlem. Today we have a very special guest on Girl Talk. Her name is Miss Lynn Wetbeck, and she's a founder and coach and mentor at boutiques2queens.com, and a community for women who want more out of life and their career. Today we're going to have Girl Talk, and we're going to talk about why women self-sabotage and how they can refrain from the mindsets and overcome, and overcoming is so important. So, good evening, Miss Lynn Wetbeck. How are you?
I'm doing well, and for me, it's good afternoon.
Oh, for that.
We are on opposite sides of the coast.
We are, we are.
And that's reassuring. You know, here we are on opposite sides of the world, and yet we are at least here in the States, and yet, you know, we've come together.
Absolutely. I keep forgetting you're on the other end, not on my end. You know what? And I struggled so many times because a lot of my podcasts had came from California. Some had came from overseas. And I'm like, oh, the time. And, you know, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I got to get it together. I'll get it together. So how are you this afternoon on your end?
I am doing great. The sun is shining. And I'm looking forward to our discussion today. I think it's going to be amazing. And I'm just so thrilled to be here, Valencia. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. We're going to definitely jump into this topic because I'm pretty sure you can relate and I can relate, but there are other people, other women that can relate to this topic and immensely. So we want to talk about why women self-sabotage. I'm going to let you break into this and then I'll kind of jump in as needed. So what do you feel, Miss Lynn, is an issue here?
Well, you know, what I want to say first is I think it's important for us to actually define self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at it, self-sabotage, it's going to create problems in your daily life, mm-hmm. and it interferes with your goals.
Mm-hmm.
So if we sort of put that in their mind. And a lot of times self-sabotage commonly presents itself as either procrastination, which really has an impact on me, and then abusive behaviors.
Mm.
And so today I'm going to focus on self-sabotage in the forms of procrastination and self-limiting beliefs, because those are the things that really, really, so many women, aren't even conscious of them, right? These
mm-hmm.
self-limiting beliefs and these walls that we build up. And I think that's one of the key things is that why and how do women self-sabotage? Well, first of all, many are not even aware that they're doing it to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and of course, there could be a lot of reasons why women could be acting in a way that is damaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, and I talked about the self-limiting beliefs. There's also this accumulation of distorted beliefs.
Mm.
And that what happens is that women underestimate their capabilities. So you've always heard, I'm sure you've heard that how when women apply for jobs, they feel like they have to check off every single stinking box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's because of these distorted beliefs. And so that's one of the things that we really want to sort of get away from, right? We want to brick it, bust out.
Right. Absolutely.
So I've got something for everybody out there in the audience. So if they want to look at themselves and see maybe if they have self-sabotage, and there's something you can do, and it's a game, and it's called the only if game.
Mm.
And so this way of thinking is that when you play this only if game, you go back and you try to think if there are regrets that you're really hung up on or something that you missed out on and you can't get over it. So I'm going to give you an example. My husband died of terminal cancer almost 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be an only if game I could play of only if I had gone to those initial doctor's appointments with him and acted as his advocate, could the outcome have been different? Could they have caught it sooner before it was already, you know, stage 5 type of thing.
Right.
And so when you do this only if game, if you can't get past the if only I had or only if I had, that means that you're stuck. And that means that that's you're self-sabotaging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to let go of that. And one of the things that you can really look at is that when you're doing this and you're going through this only if, and you're going back, you know, like, only if I had studied this in school, only if I had done this, you want to think, are you suppressing thoughts or feelings that scare you? Are you trying to either bury or mask your feelings? Maybe about something that was sort of quote unquote unacceptable. And then another thing is, are you willing to just sort of let go of today and just say, okay, I'm going to start fresh tomorrow. All of those are ways that we self-sabotage, and the only if game is a really great way to sort of, or nothing that's going to really make you go down this mental journey.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so important. So, I mean, let's say if you were going to play that only if game, I mean, I gave you an example where I have sort of gone there. I've gone through this only if, and I've been able to get right over the hump. I mean, that wasn't the hand I was dealt. I had to keep moving forward. I had to do what I had to do, and help my husband as we went through that journey. What's an example for you?
I think I had played that opposite, because I was married and got a divorce. So in my head, I used to play, well, what if I did this better? Or what if I, you know, tried to do this a little bit different? Or, you know, so I played that over again in my head a lot of time. And it was hard for me to move on. It took years for me to move on. And that's the game I continue to play in my head over and over and over again. Because even within a marriage, sometimes you don't have, or even in a certain relationship, you don't have closure. So when there's no closure, you continue thinking like, okay, well, we never really got to talk. We never really got to, you know, settle things. So in your head, you're mentally thinking over and over again, like, oh my God, I cannot believe this happened. I can't believe I'm going through this. And you do the blame game. You start playing all these games with yourself. So then you depleted everything, because you haven't given yourself time to heal any of those things. You're still wounding yourself by playing this game. So I think for me, it was, you know, going through a divorce. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, what's great about what your example is that I think I have a tool, a process that could help you if you still are a little bit stuck. It sounds like you've mostly got yourself unstuck.
I'm pretty unstuck.
But for those of the audience who are trying to say, well, how can I let go of what's holding me back and gain the confidence that I need? You know, because it is a journey of personal development. And so I sort of alluded to that at the beginning, but you want to identify your conscious and unconscious self-limiting beliefs. So you were just going through that scenario with your divorce. So I've got two exercises and that they can help you to reveal this. And so the first one is to create what I call a luminary matrix. So it's that beautiful word, luminary. So we're just filled with light, and it's sort of a map for self-discovery. So what I want those of you in the audience to do, I want you to think of every skill, that everything you can think of, and I want you to dig deep, you know, beneath the surface and capture all your talents. You know, if you have prepared a lovely a meal for your family, if you have can fold the laundry, arranged your marriage, right? Everything you've done. So get creative thinking about everything that you've done. Maybe you have HTML expertise, whatever it is. And then active listed every one of those things that you can do. Like, you know, hey, I worked in housekeeping when I was in college, which was, I mean, I to this day can fold sheets like you wouldn't believe.
That is a true skill.
But, you know, so then when you go through that, you want to look at each one of those skills that you've listed and then think about how that skill motivates you. Because there are some that are, you're going to be pretty lackluster about, like folding the sheets. You know, I don't really care, you know.
Right.
But what you're doing is that you want to go through those things that really make you excited. Like, I actually love having dinner parties and planning everything and preparing the things. And I think it's because it gets me creative. It's a way to let me show people that I love them because I'm just doing something for them. So that's the step three, is you want to identify your feelings about that. So for me, like the dinner parties, you know, I also feel that I'm proud that I can put this beautiful meal all together, right? So you want to go through and sort of identify all those things. And then ask yourself with each skill and then why it motivates you and what your emotions are, you know, sort of think about how that connects to your core values and identity. So when I think about putting on a big dinner party, it's a way for me to be creative. It's a way for me to show my love because I'm putting out this beautiful meal to me in my own mind. It's a way for me to do that. In a way, I'm helping someone because all they have to do is come, sit, and enjoy a nice meal, right?
Absolutely.
It's a way for me to celebrate family and friends because we can talk and enjoy one another's company. So, you know, you start to think about all those things. So that's that luminary matrix exercise. And it is. It's about bringing forth all this wonderful light, right?
Absolutely.
So then I've got another one. Exercise two is to observe all your thoughts, your automatic thoughts, for 5 days. And these include negative or positive ones. And the reason why you do this, you literally keep a journal. And I know you were mentioning you had sticky notes everywhere. Well, just maybe you put them all on sticky notes. But the thing is that you want to really keep track of this. And an example of an automatic thought could be, I really didn't get enough done today.
Mm.
You know, and so what you want to do is you go through and list all of these automatic thoughts. And because what you're going to find is there are quite a few negative thoughts that's actually quite normal.
Mm-hmm.
People generate more negative thoughts than positive, but you want to look at what they are and so that then you can start to work on them, right?
Absolutely.
So a different way, a balanced thought would be that, hey, I did really well during this podcast that we're having right now, but maybe I could have articulated a particular point a bit better.
Right.
So you want to go through and you're recording these thoughts, and the purpose of doing that is so that you can put all this work in the luminary matrix and these automatic thoughts, and you're going to be able to create what I call a value vault.
Mm.
And because now you can take all those things and you can start to list all your accomplishments and then reframe them into power skills. So if you can plan a dinner party where all these things, you've got multiple things that all have to come out at the same time, whether it's from the microwave or the stovetop or the oven or the barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and they all got to reach the table, you're actually doing a fairly intense project management right there.
Right.
Get everything to the table on time, right? It's just, you're just using different implements. And so that's what's really cool, because what I could say is that as an example, my luminary matrix, and I love hosting dinner parties, I could say, I have expertise at managing precise timelines.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And then I want everyone, when you're doing this, going through your value vault, those negative thoughts that you observed, I want you to turn them into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that I didn't get as much done as I wanted to today. Well, wow, I actually did a lot.
Okay.
So let's say yesterday, Sunday, I was watching a series of movie mysteries, but I was also making face masks. So I've been making fabric face masks for all my friends and family. I've made like upwards to 300 now. I keep shipping them out all over.
Oh, wow.
And but I was sitting there working on making face masks, and I made a whole bunch more yesterday. So, because then by the end of the week, I dwindled my supply down so that I work up. Anyway, but that was like, okay, well, yeah, I was watching movies, so I was sort of enjoying myself. It's a Sunday, but I'm also was making these fabric masks, and I did accomplish a lot. So I want to just see, so you could say I didn't get enough done today. I flipped it to, you know what, I actually accomplished quite a bit.
That's, you know what, that's, you hit a key point. That is very good, because you don't realize how much the negative thoughts play within that little bit of frame of time. And you, to turn it around where you gain the victory is wonderful, because then you get to pat yourself on the back and say, you know what, you did a good job. And as long as you feel good about that, there's no one that can take that away from you. No one.
Yeah. absolutely. And you know what I'm going to say is those negative thoughts, I call them negative Nelly.
Negative Nelly? I don't like her. I don't like her.
I don't like negative Nelly. But you know what? That's one of the most important things when you're going along this journey to overcome self-sabotage. You really do need to recognize negative Nelly in your head, because we automatically have these negative thoughts every day. And what we want to do is we want to use an affirmation to take negative Nelly in our head and turn her into, I don't know, positive Pauline.
There you go. You took the words right out of my mouth. Positive Pauline sounds good to me. I like her.
So one of the things that I did is that, because I did recognize this negative thought that I had of I don't get enough done, right, know, during the day. And instead, I turned it into, there are so many things I get to do today. So every morning when I get up, and I still use this affirmation because I find it so empowering, and it's just a way to make me greet the day with a yeah, baby. Because I say, there are so many things I get to do today. And so that's one of the ways that you can use an affirmation. So what you want to do is you identify some of these negative thoughts and how you want to turn them on their head. And I recommend using like three at a time and saying them the first thing when you get up out of bed in the morning or in the evening, whatever shift you're working, but say them out loud to yourself so that they frame your day.
Right.
And if you do that for, you know, 20 to so days, I mean, everyone's different on how long, but you're going to start that positive Pauline who's been now, you're actually consciously articulating out loud, she's going to take over. And you're going to really adopt that line of thinking. And that is just so amazing. And then what you can do is that you go, okay, I covered those three. And like for me, I use that one. I still use it all the time because I think I'm just, you know, sometimes you know, I think I have a slight issue with perfectionism. So it's always good for me to do the one. I have so many things I get to do today. But then I swap out the others and you keep working on yourself. Just like doing these interviews doing like FaceTime lives or Instagram lives. My first thought was like, oh my gosh, I am no good at this. I'm not an actress. And I had to take a step back and go, okay, so I'm not an actress. Yeah. That doesn't mean that I can't learn this skill and that I can't improve. And I made an affirmation for myself that this is a learned skill and I'm never going to win an Academy Award. That's okay. Or Emmy or anything else. But I can get a lot better at this.
Yes.
I can get a lot better because I can learn how to do this. I can start to be comfortable in my skin. And so by telling myself that, the very next time I was a guest on a podcast, I probably did 210% better than the first time.
That's good.
And it's still not great.
But you're getting there. You're getting there.
Miss Lee, so
you said something very important. I thought about this. You know, we talk about self-sabotage and so forth, and we talk about the negative and the positive. One thing I do notice is that, you know, we're not just self-sabotaging ourselves, but we allow other people to come in and do so by their words and by their actions as well, too. And it puts, and I think that jumps into our frame of that jumps into our mindset as well too, because when you hear somebody say something and it doesn't agree with you and you feel like it's a negative thing, sometimes you start rethinking that same thing over and over again. You're like, oh my goodness, why did they say that? And you start reliving that negativity over and over again, and that doesn't create light, but it creates a darkness in a sense. So then you have, then you don't know how to jump, then you have to jump into the positive. You know, you have to remind yourself, you know what? I can do this. This is what I was made of. I want to try something new. I'm capable of doing this. So you still have to go back through and build up that positivity, because you just been grouped with negativity from someone close to you.
Yeah. No, you definitely have to take that moment and not let them not give them power. Take the power back yourself. And one way I recommend doing that is with something I call the powerful pause. The powerful pause is where you you literally, I mean, metaphorically, you take a step back, take a deep breath. You sort of recenter yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it could come from a place that someone is criticizing you. And, you know, instead of putting up that wall, you can really take that moment to pause and sort of take a moment to think about that negative. Mm. And sometimes it helps, like you could say, maybe it's coming from, okay, for me, like maybe it's coming from my daughter. And it's like, moment is like, okay, she loves me. She wants to, she's trying to be helpful. She's not doing this to wound me.
Mm.
And so then, you know, so then you use that time to gather your thoughts. And then you can also pivot to that value vault I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
All those skills and accomplishments. So and then you can use that and then respond. And so that powerful pause is so, I mean, it has multiple uses. And it definitely is really helpful on the journey to overcoming self-sabotage or responding to constructive criticism.
Absolutely.
Or someone else's negativity. It helps you when you're in a business situation and someone asks you something and you want to take a moment to stop, listen to what they said, and then how you're going to reply.
Oh.
And it's also important to allow other people to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
For women, once again, we tend to keep jumping into the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Instead of taking that moment to pause.
Absolutely.
And let the other person process what we said.
Mm-hmm.
And then respond.
I think that was a struggle for me for many years because I think the overthinking got in the way. My CEO said something to me one day, and when she said it, it didn't dawn on me until I sat down at my desk. And I was like, what does she mean by that? And so the whole day, I'm at my desk and I'm trying to process what she said. But in actuality, I'm thinking the whole time negative. By the time I made it home to my good, lovely home, I was in my mindset was like, no, V, that's not what she meant. I had to take what she meant and say, you know what? Maybe this will help you in an area where you may lack. And she said it in a way in order for you to understand. She wasn't trying to be ugly or mean about it. She was just letting you know you could do better in this area. But I think sometimes...
Right, she's trying to give you a guide.
Yes.
This is an area that you could work on.
Yes.
To improve.
Yes.
And so that constructive criticism.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, well, what does she mean? I need to be a little bit more polished. And I mean, I could have took that 100. I could have took it 100 ways. And she wasn't talking about my appearance. She was talking about the way I did something. And she was like, Valencia, I think you could be a little bit more polished in your work in this area. And I was, you know, and that's what I said. Negative Nancy jumps in and she knocks positive Paulina to the floor and like, no, that's not what's going to happen. You know, we're not, you know, and I could have carried that attitude throughout my whole day. But I had other things to concentrate on. But I realized by the end of my day, once I made it home, I was like, you know what, V, that's not what she meant. You know, and it can be, you're right. We end up hurting ourselves because we don't turn that negative into a positive. In the moments of, you know, when I talked about my marriage, even though that happened some years ago, truth be told, this year was the first time I probably talked to my ex-husband in several years. That let me know I grew. You know, it let me know I wasn't at that place of hurt. I wasn't in a place of pain. I wasn't in a place of, you know, wanting to get back at him. I was in a place of peace. Because that couldn't have happened 5 years ago. That I probably would have been like, no, I won't talk to you, you know. But my mindset was like, you're ready. You built up some things to push you forward. Now you're ready to open up. You're okay with this now, you know. And a lot of times it takes a long time to get to that point. You know, because we're so used to the negativity. We're so used to letting our own self down. We're so used to these things. And we never take the time and say, you know what? No, we're not going to do that anymore. So I agree.
It is a journey. And it is when you do get that type of constructive criticism. That was such a fabulous example, Valencia, because it happens so much at work.
Oh, yes.
And I had my own team tell me that when I've, you know, given them constructive criticism, they take it as a personal attack.
Yes.
The first thing is like that somehow they're not worthy, that they have done something wrong, rather than say that, no, I'm trying to help them, to show them a better way or a different way to do something. And it's been really, that's always hard for people when we're going through that process. So when you get that constructive criticism, it can be really helpful to sort of write it out and then think about, and like I said, you go through that mind mapping process so that you can recognize that that person wasn't trying to be mean, or it wasn't a personal attack. Instead, it's coming from a place of deep respect, and they want to help you move forward.
Oh, absolutely.
They want to, there are a few times where someone tells you something that's just from a place of meanness.
Oh, you can tell.
The same thing, you can just say, okay. You can still look at that other person and say, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you do your thing, and I'm going to just do mine, and I'm going to let it go because it's just not worth my energy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put my energy into this and into this negativity.
Yeah.
Some people, yeah.
Miss Lee.
That's this exercise of how to overcome self-sabotage. That's why it feeds your soul, because it helps set you free.
Absolutely. You said a key word, energy. That is,
yes,
to me, it's like gold. Because either you give it away or you keep it. And a lot of times we're giving it away. We don't keep our gold because we're so busy giving it away. And that energy is everything, because I could have put this, being mad, I'd be like, I'm not doing this. And then you forget about everything you wanted to do because your energy went into something that was not relevant. And now you can't even focus on what you need to focus on because your energy went into something else, and energy is like time and gold, And sometimes you can't get that time back. You got to go back and remake that time up.
And I think that's really true when you're putting your energy into something negative. But when you're putting your energy into something positive, like this podcast that we're doing right here and now,
woo-hoo!
I actually feel like I'm giving energy, but I'm getting so much more back. And just the conversation that you and I are having,
yay!
I'm actually filling up my energy banks.
Yes.
Like, huge. And so, instead of like by making my masks for my friends and family, it sounds silly, but yes, it was like, it also allowed me to do one thing that I felt like I could take control over this whole pandemic. That,
yes,
how can we take control? And, this was let me do one thing that I suddenly felt like I had control over this one aspect. And so I absolutely agree with you that energy, when you're putting energy into things that are your core values and that sort of feed your mission in life, they're going to be feeding you energy right back. And it's just going to fill those banks up.
and you know what? That is really relevant. My grandma used to tell me, she's like, be careful because you're just really, really nice. I said, well, why do I need to be careful? She says, because everybody may not, receive your energy. They might not receive who you are. That's because they're not where you are. And you have to distinct that little thing, because you could be talking to a person and they could not be hearing you, and you want that conversation or you want that energy. It's a give and take. That energy builds friendship. It builds relationship. It builds so much more. And we miss out because sometimes we're entertaining the wrong people. I'm just saying, we entertain the wrong people at the wrong time, but we learn from that learning curve in life, and we build that wisdom along the way. And that is so helpful as a woman who grows and wants to be a light among other people. People are looking, they're watching, they're trying to see what it is that you're doing. They're trying to get a grasp of who you are. And if you're feeding off that positive light, they're going to attract that. But if you're negative, you're going to attract everything negative as well,
It's just a downward cycle, and it's just really hard to get bottom.
Absolutely.
Whereas the opposite, when you're the light, the enthusiasm, you know, mm-hmm. the passion. And that, you know, okay, so the sky's the limit. I remember in a movie, it was so amazing that that you can, there, you know, don't you worry about loving someone else, because you can always make more love, and you can love more than one person. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you can just make more.
Yeah.
So when you're living that, and you can, you really dive into this type of journey to work on your mind mapping and your unconscious self-limiting beliefs, so that you can just bust out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite. You just, you can't climb. You can just keep climbing higher and higher and higher.
Absolutely. I want to ask you this one question. When it comes to self-sabotaging, we'll kind of jump into this, because I think this is very important. Do you think there has anything to do with age, or where a person, where they are in their life?
You know, the thing is that you can self-sabotage as young as anything, or as mm-hmm. old as, yeah, I mean, so age, I think, is tied, once again, if this is something that a woman has put in her mind as, once again, probably an unconscious belief that mm-hmm. maybe once she gets to a certain age, well, you know, that's life. She's not really going to be able to accomplish much after mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
So what she's done is she's built a wall. She's built a wall for herself that's taller than, you know, and she's now got to figure out how to scale it, because she built that wall. So she's got to break it back down. But we do that in so many different ways. I mean, I heard my daughter, who's, this is her last quarter of college, mm-hmm. and she's going like, well, you know, it's going to be really hard to find a job.
Mm.
and I'm going, okay, well, you're just, yes, of course, but you're also building a wall.
Yeah.
You're building a wall for yourself by seeing that type of negativity. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, okay?
Yeah.
But the thing is that when we build those walls, we're actually creating that impetus for self-sabotage.
Absolutely.
Because we're basically giving ourselves an excuse of, well, why we can't do something. And so whether it's age, or whether it's, you know, how you look, you know, or, you know, how you talk, you know, how, what kind of education you had, all of those things feed into giving you this, like, it's like an excuse, mm-hmm. like a wall. Because, you know, you, and I'm not saying that sometimes we don't have real factors that we have to push against.
Right.
But it just means that maybe we need to push a little harder.
Absolutely.
Climb a little higher.
Absolutely.
just like Captain Marvel, when she keeps getting shoved down and fall down and pushed down, she gets back up, she dusts herself off, and she's, I'm back in it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it again. And I'm just going to keep pushing.
That is a key word, because push has so, the acronym of push is, I'm not saying acronym, but, you know, push has a lot to do with it, because pressure busts a pipe.
Yeah.
And you, after a while, you're like, okay, I've had enough of me, you know. And sometimes I tell myself that. I'm like, V, you might be 41. But in my mind, I'm telling myself, so what you going to do after you get 42? You know, and I'm going through this, you know, I'm going through this rigmarole in my head. And I'm like, okay, you're not even there yet. You're not even there yet. You only are where you are for the time being. And all you have is what you have in front of you for the time being. Who knows if I'm, you know, 42 is not here yet. But sometimes we do that. We overthink. We overthink the process. We overthink the things in our life. And we're so busy, you know, going through this roller coaster sometimes. And I feel like that in itself, it can be draining. You know, do you feel like when women are overthinking in the process, when it comes to self-sabotage and them trying to turn that negative into positive, what do you feel like is the most important when they go through the overthinking? Because sometimes, like you said, we play things over in our head a million times. But when we overthink the wrong situation or the wrong things, you know, how do we help in that area?
Well, I think if we go back and you sort of try that only if game.
Yes.
But there it does. There comes a time where you, if you just, you have to. So I'm going to go back to, okay, so when I told you that, you know, my husband, when he's diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Right.
And, I mean, to be honest, you know, I had a two-week pity party.
you, Miss Lynn?
Yes, 2 weeks. I mean, literally a two-week pity party where I almost could not stop crying, you know? Mm. And I realized, though, that it just, you know, it had to end.
Yeah.
And I had to move forward. Mm. And I sort of got to that point where it was like, you know, where you're, like you're saying, you're just like, you're rethinking it, like, and you're going through that only if and stuff. Yeah. And I finally just said, this is the hand I've been dealt. You know, I guess I use that phrase. Yes. And instead of thinking about what I'm going to lose or what I'm going to have to give up, I need to think about what I'm going to get in return.
That's good.
And just by changing that mindset, I just got active. And I was just like, hey, what's the bucket list? What are the things you want to do? His initial prognosis was 6 months to a year, you know, so it's really grim. And, you know, so all the different things that we could do, and I actually got very involved with going to every single doctor's appointment. I switched his primary care provider. We did a number of things, and we actually took this amazing trip that was he wanted to do. And with our daughter, and, you know, so we just started to celebrate every day and appreciate it.
And that
change of mindset, I really also feel like it really helped him, because he ended up living for basically 3 years, almost 3 years to the date of the prognosis. So way longer than originally that he thought. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of things that went into that, but definitely having a more positive mindset and this outlook. And that also helped me too, that, you know, I knew that I would continue to have a life after my husband passed. And right. So all of that. And so, yeah, you do. We all have to have pity parties sometimes for different things. Maybe that day when your boss had talked to you, you were sort of in your mind having a pity party during the day, like, why did you tell me this? You know? But you get to that, you have to look at, if you look it in the eye and you sort of rethink, like, where is our, what's really important here? What really matters? So where were they coming from? Like in your case, then you're able to put a frame around it. I literally reframe it and say, okay, now this is my path forward.
Mm-hmm.
This was a gift. This was a gift for me to, improve. And, move further along in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, obviously my husband diagnosed with terminal cancer wasn't necessarily a gift. It was sort of horrible, but you know, but there were, we had all these incredible memories we were able to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out on the other side ready to keep moving forward. So it's, you know, I think that, I guess the last thing is, you know, sometimes, you know, you do have to travel a long road around to reach a short distance. And so that's might be where, when you're thinking, you're overthinking, sometimes we need that time to process it and to give ourselves the ability to reframe it.
That's good. I like that. When it comes to when it comes to relationship with other people, whether married or making friends or being in a group to, you know, to be involved in some type of event or something, how does one go about not trying to self-sabotage good relationships?
Yeah, that's a really good one. So I think the most important thing is to, you know, to be genuine to yourself and who you are. And if you find yourself that you're in that space where you're being negative or pushing back or snapping at people, then you need to take a step back and look at, like, well, how, why is that happening? And to also have set yourself up for success by asking for an open and honest dialogue.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm using that as an example because that was something that when I was in one of my executive roles, I mean, just the stress was just really intense.
Mm.
And I was snapping at my husband and daughter, you know, being really short with them. And my husband took said, you know, we need to talk for a few minutes. And he said, I know that you're really stressed and I understand that, but I don't think you recognize your behavior. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're snapping at us and, you know, and being very short, and that doesn't help us help you Absolutely. In this situation.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we had laid that groundwork early on that we were going to be, you know, really honest with one another and talk about our feelings mm-hmm. and talk about these, because those are the important things to get them out. It's not like you can assume that someone knows what you're thinking.
Absolutely.
So having that, and of course, some people will have more comfort with that than others. but it's so important to be able to have that kind of really open, honest, genuine dialogue with your friends and family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to a certain extent, also with your coworkers. I mean, yeah. I think with the coworkers, what you want to be very aware of, that it doesn't get negative, doesn't get mean-spirited, it doesn't devolve into some kind of personal attacks and something like that. You need to step up and say, you know, let's pivot back to the topic at hand.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so there are ways that you can, I have a whole a piece I did on having tough discussions. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is where you start with this, like, we need to be able to have this open conversation because you can't know what I'm thinking. Mm. And I know that I do that as an executive. I can rapidly sort of work through something, and I have to be careful to make sure that I've explained to the different team members what their project or role is, mm-hmm. because I've already thought it through in my head, but they don't know what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. That is a key point. Maybe you could tell that to my CFO, and we can definitely grow from there. Because I was like, well, nobody knows what you're thinking. You have to explain. He said, no, Valencia, they should know. And I'm like, no, they don't know. You know?
Well, you know, they don't know if they haven't been trained, you True. Know, in the different ways. And it's, you know, in that case, you know, something so simple. This is a really funny story, but my mom, when she was helping me, actually, she never helped me learn how to cook. I shouldn't say that. but she had wanted me to do a pot roast one evening. And so she had told me, well, you put it in the oven at 450. And I okay, and then she left to go somewhere, is you know, for the afternoon, and I was going to put the pot roast in. I put the pot roast in at 450. Mm. I never turned it down because she didn't tell me I was supposed to turn it down. So by the time she gets back, I mean, it's like this little black one that's going to rock, you know? And so that's the thing, you know, people don't know what's, if they, and they also don't have the experience, they're not aware, so you need to be able to bring them in, mm-hmm. you know, with, you know, warm, you know, open arms. And because that's how they're going to learn. I actually learned to cook by taking cooking classes from my mother. Because she always just assumed that I would know something.
Yeah.
But if you're learning, I don't know though. Don't know that.
Wow. How amazing.
Yeah, I know. See, it applies work and life.
Exactly. And those, you know, and when you communicate better with someone, you can't come between that, because then you have this energy. We can still go back to this word energy. You have this energy between this person, you and this person. And it's like, wow, I needed that. You know, I didn't think about that. Or, wow, this person really helped me get through my day. I didn't realize I needed a little piece of information. You know, I think that's a great way of building. That way you're not having this thing where you're kind of like, oh no, I can't do this, I don't want to do it anymore, it messed up, I'm not gonna try it ever again. But that didn't, you didn't give up, you did not give up. And I think that's the name of the game, the name of this game is the fact that you're not giving
try
up.
Something different. Yes. You know, my mother can't teach me to cook, I have to do something.
I gotta go, you know, I gotta try this out another way. You know, it's funny because my mom, growing up, my mom taught me so much. But one thing she couldn't teach me was, what was it? I think it was like something I wanted to, it was like a science project. She wasn't good with science. And I would be so angry. And I'm like, Mom, I really need help with this. She's like, I can't help you. I don't understand it. And of course she's an accountant, so she doesn't understand the science part. So she said, but you know what? I know somebody that can. And she found me someone who could help me. You know, and that line of communication, it builds a lot of confidence because you're like, good, at least my mom told me the truth instead of just telling me no. You know, and I didn't have that negative thought in my head, like, she just doesn't want to help me. But she went in and said, you know what, I don't know how, but I know someone that can, you know. And that's helpful from a young child up until your adolescence, up until your, you know, your adult, pre-adults, and then on up. That's very helpful. When you don't have that, sometimes when you don't have that those helping hands, I call on to tell my children, okay, we're going to have helping hands today. Who's going to be my helper, you know? And you have someone who is willing to build with you into a relationship, these core values, because you need that. You need that along the way, because sometimes parents feel like, well, no, listen to me. Don't do as I do as I say. Oh, you can't do that nowadays. You can forget about it. That is out the window, because you're setting your child up for failure, you know? They're going to always have this thought in their head. They're always going to think this about you. They're always going to know these things. That's what's set in their brain set at a very young age on up. And like you said, you know, you have to want to build something different. You have to want to do something different, you know?
Yeah, well, your mother gave you a really fabulous example, because she showed you how that you could pivot and go a different direction, in the sense that she gave you that because... Okay, so she couldn't help you, but this is a different way, and you can pivot. So that's really cool. That's a really good story.
I had to think about it. I said, you know, my mom did something too. I just can't remember what she did, you know, and it kind of came to me. I want to ask you this question in general. I know with you being a business owner and your line of work, and the women that come across or come into your life, how has this particular topic helped them in a way? How has that helped them along the way of their journey? Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I think the most incredible is when all of a sudden they have this aha moment, and we can be talking, and I can be pushing them on, like, well, you do this, and you can do this, and can you describe this to me? And all of a sudden, they have this aha moment. I recently had this with someone who wanted to apply for a promotion, but she felt like she had to check every single box. And we've been working through all these different things, and I was, you know, gently pushing, the gentle shove, and... all of a sudden, she stopped talking and she went, I've already done all these things. And I said, you check every box. You know, that's the thing. It's like, it's just, and all of a sudden, it's like she could step into it.
Yeah.
And when you step into that assurance and confidence, it was like, I knew that that she was going to not only then go ahead and apply for that promotion, but she was going to nail it, right? Wow. Because she had finally broken through, and that's just really amazing. And sometimes with someone else, I still remember she was really struggling with what she sort of wanted to do with her career and trying to isolate where she was at. And then this idea of, once again, of how you look at things and some of the things that she wanted in her life, and then how she could get those with her career. And the same, it was like this, you know, these aha moments, and you get to be this fly on the wall,
right?
When they have them, it's really wow. I just don't think there's anything better.
I think that's beautiful, because you want to see them light up like a light bulb. You want to see them light. You know what? I'm glad I met you. I'm glad you came into my life, and you were this beam of you were this beam of greatness. And a lot of women need that. You know, we look at social media today, and it's nothing like when the computer first came out. Nothing. And now we see women and men, let's put it like that, who go into great degree to self-sabotage themselves. You know, and they don't even realize they're doing it, because they feel like, oh, this is just social media. But what if you were trying to get a job and this so-called thing came out from social media? You literally have self-sabotaged yourself, because you don't realize this platform. Yes, it's a platform, but you don't realize the behavior in which you have.
You definitely, in today's career, in today's world, people are going to be looking very closely at your social profiles mm-hmm. and your content. So that's definitely something you need to be aware of. But I also would say that people, when we want to look for the good in the people, I know there's ugliness out there, mm-hmm. but I guess if I was the employer, I definitely want to know that before I got them on my bus.
Before you get on my bus, let me check out your credentials. Yes.
it's there's so much about how important that, the cultural fit is, because people can be from all over the world and mm-hmm. all different types, and yet we still fit because we can find that common ground and we can work for that purpose. Mm. There are some times that someone really, they're just not suited.
Right. You're absolutely right. When we go back into self-sabotage, Tajin, I'm going to put on here Tajin, because sometimes we do it more than once. We do it way more than once.
Multiple times a day.
So I was having a pity party like a couple of days ago. And I don't even realize I'm having this pity party until I pick up this bag of gummy bears. And my neighbor has already told me, V, you only get 5 a day. Because I already know my issue. I already know my issue, Miss Lynn. So I am in this little funk. I'm having this little issue. And he doesn't take the bag of gummy bears, but he leaves them in my area. So I'm like, oh God, this is not going to be good. And before you know it, Miss Lynn, the bag was gone. I mean, I was looking for a gummy bear to fall on the floor or something. So I was like, and did not realize that food, drugs, alcohol, whatever, bring it. You can indulge in that. And you are self-sabotaging yourself. And you don't even realize these things are bringing you down. They're they're weighing you down. And how do you feel about that when a person indulges in something that can be very not good for them?
Yeah, I think that there's just like everything, there's limits, and whether it's binge watching Netflix or eating, a giant bag of gummy bears. And to your point, I think that sometimes you have to give yourself permission to fail, in the sense that sometimes you really do, you really needed that bag of gummy bears. You really did need to binge watch Netflix so you could just, sort of just come out the other side and be mm-hmm. ready to, I definitely think, or like when I said, my 2-week pity party, I needed to have that time to process what was happening.
Yes.
So, but, on the other hand, I mean, it's definitely something that, it's really tied in with discipline mm-hmm. and how we discipline, or we self-discipline ourselves. And that does come into that idea of self-sabotaging, or our concept of self-worth. And if we feel like we're eating the bag of gummy bears or watching the Netflix because we're trying to hide, or we're masking our feelings, mm-hmm. then we need to get at the feelings, because it's a festering sore. We need to clean it up, get the antiseptic out. It's going to sting, but it's necessary so it can heal. It's the only way it's going to heal. So if you're having, a bag of gummy bears ever so often, it's probably not the end of the world.
So once a month thing.
You're doing it all, you're a bag of gummy bears every few nights, then there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you need to start going through that mind mapping and really figure out what is going on.
Yeah.
So that you can, only when we face whatever, what those fears are or the feelings are,
mm-hmm.
can we move forward?
Absolutely.
So we have to bring them to the light. So that's like those unconscious beliefs or this fear that buried deep or we've masked a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go ahead and we have to expose it. And then by taking that action, that's literally it's the most painful part.
Yes.
Of
yes.
the action to take. And like I said, it's the antiseptic state, but it's absolutely necessary so that we can begin to heal and move forward.
I look at this because, you know, I fall into this area many of times when, you know, when I'm trying to get back up and I'm saying, all right, you're going to do this. You're going to get yourself up. You're going to push forward. You're going to get out here. You're going to get podcast interviews and you're going to do them these days. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And I don't want to hear anything else about it. You know, I have to talk to myself as if my son was here, because now that we don't live together, he's in the, you know, in the army, I have to pretend that I'm talking to him, because some days he would get down and out and he'll have his days. And only thing I wanted to do was motivate him and encourage him, because you want to see your children do good and you want them to, you know, become someone that, you know, of light and substance. And so sometimes I have to get in here and just really get myself in gear, because so many things you can lose focus on. You know, because people are calling, someone has said this on your comment, you read something very negative. You know, when it comes to things that we indulge in, like TV, for instance, do you think when we're indulging in certain things, they can bring on the self-sabotage when we're indulging in negative things? Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously watching a show isn't a negative thing. And I think it depends on how you frame it. So for me, I mean, I definitely love to watch certain TV shows. Like I told you, Sunday, I had my little mystery movies on while I was sewing my stuff. But I've already seen them all, and I'd go downstairs and I'd sew some seams. Then I'd come back upstairs and work on my little projects. I kept working on them. I'd go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I think it depends on what, you know, if something is really, truly negative and
yeah.
holding us back, you know, watching TV shows, maybe what you need to do is limit yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that, you know, I have this frame of when I like to watch something, and I have this little TV schedule. And then by this time at night, I'm going to turn the TV off. And I'm going to read my book while I get ready to go to sleep, because I find that's very relaxing. I think it's because way back when I used to read to my daughter when she was, I don't know if you did that with your children, but
indeed.
I would read bedtime stories to my daughter.
Yes.
And so it's relaxing, and then I can go to sleep even if I'm reading some, you know, one of my murder mystery books. But, you know, what I find is it's that sort of, you know, so it's putting that frame around it. And so watching TV, obviously, if you're not doing anything else or things that you really do have to get done, whether it's work or something, you know, personal, then, you know, there's some behavior there. And that's where self-sabotage shows up, is in procrastination.
Yes.
So one of the things you can do is, well, what's something I can do? I can watch TV, but I can also be folding the laundry. I will do meal prep sometimes, while I'm watching the TV. I'll put the TV on and I'll be working on the meal prep, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little tasks that you can do simultaneously.
Absolutely.
And now, obviously, if you're seriously working, you shouldn't have the TV on. I mean, if you want to have some music on, some, you know, some soft jazz, something else, then that can actually help you be more effective when you're working. But I guess that's a hard thing to answer without having an exact
right
example. But
Well, I was thinking more on the lines of, because people, you know, porn is prevalent. You know, it's prevalent nowadays. You know, you get online, you can watch porn. You can, you know, you can watch all kinds of negative things. Like, I think Housewives is negative. I think it's a, I don't watch it because then I find myself being very critical of other people. So I don't, I watch things that I know could build me and help me and gear me. But I know that when it comes to these line of certain things, I know that I can't, even when it comes to music, there is certain music I can't listen to. Because to me, it doesn't feed my soul. It's giving me a negative energy. Maybe when I was younger, that may have been the thing. But now, I'm growing older. I'm trying to develop myself more better. I know that certain things I cannot tolerate. So I know that within that, you know, some people, they do and they don't realize how they can self-sabotage yourself within that. Because I meet a lot of women and they tell me, oh, I watch this Housewives show. And I'm like, oh, my God, that means you're full of drama. You are, honey, you are full of drama. I don't want to be around that. I don't like the energy at all. And don't get me wrong. These women are beautiful. They doing whatever they feel to make them millionaires or whatever the case may be. But I don't feel like it feeds me. I don't feel like it helps me as a woman to better myself. That's, you know, per se.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you know, watching a show like that, for some people, it's just a way to completely escape.
Yeah.
Some people want to throw popcorn at the screen or whatever, but I know there are a few shows that my daughter tells me that she would rather gouge her eyes out than watch again. And one of them, which is really funny, was I was watching the movie version of Pirates of Penzance, if you would, with Mr. Ron. I mean, and she was like freaking out, and I'm going like, it's Gilbert and Sullivan. And she was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. You keep watching this. And I'm going like, what? She can be quite a drama queen herself. But, you know, so, and I would definitely not say that watching the Pirates of Penzance is going to hurt anybody out there.
Right.
you know, sometimes it's just,
what do you say?
Know, once again, if you're into something that is you think are concerned that's a destructive behavior, then reaching out to trusted family and friends, it could be someone at your church, it could be, you may have counseling services that you can access. I think having that conversation and getting started, and if you think that it is, then you've probably already made that bit of a journey where you recognize that maybe there is a problem and you need to work on that.
Yes. Well, I think this was not only a great topic to talk about, you hit a lot of key points, Miss Lynn, and that's one thing that is so important about Girl Talk, because somebody definitely needs to hear that. They don't even realize they're doing. They might not even have that mind frame of saying, oh my God, I do this every day, you know, and they have to sit back and realize, wait a minute, I might need to change some things, change my thinking, change my atmosphere, change my whole environment in order to move on and be the woman that I was created to be in the first place. And it takes a lot of growth and it takes a lot of guts to recognize where you're wrong. And I wouldn't even say wrong, recognize where you're not growing. And change that factor, like you said, turn that negative into a positive. And you and Nelly Negative, you know, she can swim down the Hudson River. And then you and, you know, you and Positive Pauline, y'all can go on with your life and be free. Because I think you hold yourself captive when you're sabotaging everything around you. Even yourself, because we know that self-care is the best care. And sometimes we're not taking care of self like we should. We don't. And we lose sight. We lose focus. We want to blame people. Before we close, what advice, if you were in a room full of very young women, what would be, I know we talked about key factors, but let me get my lips together because I was about to sneeze. I was about to sneeze. What four things in I guess chronological order, what would you say would be the first and would be the fourth thing you would have, you would give to them to ways to be successful in this? You know, I know we kind of talked about it, but this is for this group of young women, because sometimes you could talk to a group of young women and then the older women may understand it, but this young group of women may not ever understand this.
All right. So if it's a group of young women, I would say that be prepared. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got four things. They actually fit my mantra, my four B's.
Absolutely.
Be prepared. Okay. Preparation gives you confidence. It gives you assurance. You've sort of covered your bases. You're ready if somebody throws you a curveball. So preparation. The next one is to be inspired. Enthusiasm is contagious. Mm. So, and when you're prepared, it's a lot easier to be inspired and enthusiastic and to be passionate about something, because, and then people can just, they can just hitch their wagon right to you.
Absolutely.
Because that's what happens. And then be brief. You know, don't belabor a point. Let people absorb it. And finally, to then be gracefully exit, right? I mean, so when you're looking at four pieces of advice to, and this applies to conversations with friends, it applies to a proposal at work, it applies to the job interview. So those are the things that I would say are really important. And I guess my bonus piece of advice is give yourself permission to fail and recognize that through failure is where we have our greatest learning opportunities. Mm. And so you're gonna do that. You're gonna pick yourself up. You're gonna dust yourself off, and you can say, okay, yeah, that was horrible, but look at what I learned, and look what I know now, and how I can do things differently moving forward.
I think that is beautiful. Oh my God. This put the icing on my cake for today. Let's put it like that. Cause I was baking a cake when I woke up. Let's pretend that we did that. And now I'm here at the end of my day and the cake is cooled off, and here Miss Lynn comes, and she's amazing. She just really is amazing. And I needed that. You know, sometimes when I'm doing a podcast, I'm like, well, I have to tell myself, what are you going to learn today? So now I have something to write in my book to say what I learned today, because even though we do things and we don't realize we're doing it, it takes someone to come along to say, boom, you don't even realize you're doing that, you know, and you have that aha moment. Like you talk, you should just get some aha shirts, Miss Lynn, because you sometimes we need that all the time. As women who are growing, who have children, who are mothers, who are friends, who are colleagues, who are so many things. When my friends and my girlfriends, well, the guy friends too, when they hold me accountable to something, that lets me know. That builds me even more. It pushes me even more, because they're not going to let me fail. You know, they want to see the best in me. And I think and I believe that is what makes a huge difference. And I really appreciate you. I'm glad we connected. I am so happy.
I know, I'm so glad I was able to be on your girl talk. This was great girl talk.
This is
all girls need to be listening to.
You better believe it. And it gave me, like I said, it put the icing on my cake for today. And I wanted to make sure that we connected. I'm glad you came up with this topic, and it gave so much light to me, and I know it will to others. So you guys, thank you so much, Miss Lynn. You guys check out her LinkedIn page, Miss Lynn Whitbeck. I'm saying it right. I keep wanting to say one thing.
Yeah, you can go to petitequeen.com. It's the two in the middle. Mm-hmm. And / chat if you want to talk with me.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lynn Whitbeck. I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate your wisdom. And I wish you all the best in all your endeavors and everything that you're doing with your company. Is there any way I can help? I would love to be of any assistance and so forth. So thank you so much for your time. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Virtuous Diva Girl Talk. You check this out Monday, Wednesdays, or Thursday, or anytime you get ready to subscribe to Virtuous Diva and Company. You guys be easy, be blessed. Peace out.